Welcome to Newborn to Teen and Everything in Between, the podcast from Bespoke Family. I'm Bex.
And I'm Claire. Thanks for joining us as we tackle the ups and downs of life with children, helping you to get the best out of your time together. No rules, no judgment, just guidance. So grab a cuppa and let's get started with today's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Newborn to Teen and Everything in Between. And today we are delighted to be joined by Claire Crowther, who is founder of Atelier Nurseries in Bath and Chippenham. And Claire is here to talk to us about preparing children for nursery. So, Claire, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
That's okay. It's lovely to have you with us. And Claire and I know, Claire, this is going to be confusing, isn't it? Claire. In fact, I've already had a conversation with another Claire this morning. So I'm like, oh, Claire. So Claire and I met Claire in a previous life working. And so it's just delightful. I think we've probably spent the last half an hour just catching up. So it's so nice to have you here. But maybe we could just start, Claire, by just hearing a little bit about you and your background and just a bit about Atelier and what you do there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bec. So we have two of what we think are the most amazing nursery settings. So we have around 70 children on each of our sites every day, and they come to us. The youngest children are around 8 months, and then we have some children that are staying with us right the way through and repeating their preschool year. And what we aim to do is create a nursery that responds to children's emotional needs, so it's very much a home from home nursery, but also offers them the richest of learning opportunities. And I think what we try to do at Atelier is really support every child as an individual and to look at the ways in which they're learning, the ways in which they're growing, and really give them the best start to their education and to all of their learning, to their future learning. So my background has always been early years. So I'm one of those traditional NNABs that kind of always knew I wanted to work with children. And so when I was given the opportunity to start Atelier, felt really privileged and really, really excited at that opportunity, but never take for granted the role that we play in children's lives every day. That's a little bit about me. I've always been early years, and just really glad to be able to now share that with so many lovely children and families.
And just before we carry on, why Atelier? Didn't you just tell us a little bit about why you called the nurseries that?
So Atelier for us is around giving children the freedom to fly. So those of you who are aware of early years education, or for those parents who are kind of exploring different ways in which nurseries can operate, they will all have a different curriculum, they will have a different value basis and a different ethos. So we do what we call standing on the shoulders of lots of giants. And one of those giants is Loris Malaguzzi, and he was a Italian educator, and he set up ateliers within all of his nurseries, and they're spaces where children can go and work creatively. So for us, we really believe that children learn at their best when their interests are captured, but when they're enabled and empowered to play and to play creatively. So for us, it's about giving children a creative start within their learning, and that's where the word atelier comes from.
Sounds perfect. A perfect description. So obviously we're here today because lots of people worry when their children start nursery. You know, they've spent the whole time at home, you know, and all of a sudden you're taking your child or your children to nursery for the first time. So when people come to you for the first time and say, look, I want to bring my child to nursery, what typically are the things that they are worried about?
I think for all families, they'll always come with their own needs, their own values, their own experiences. And so for us, it's always about trying to tune into the individual and where are they sat and what are they feeling. For many of them, it will be around settling. I think the biggest thing for most families is that kind of separation. And will my child be settled? Will they be loved? Will you still hold them in the same way I hold them, particularly if it's, you know, a very young baby? So for us, it's around really hearing the parents and tuning into what is right for them. And whilst we have 71 children within our care, it doesn't mean that all of those 71 children will be cared for in exactly the same way, because we want to meet all of their individual needs. So for parents, I would say it's completely normal to feel anxious, completely normal to feel scared that you're going to be leaving your most precious person with somebody who you've only had a very limited time to even get to know. I would say it's also then around consistency. So how will routines at home be maintained at nursery, and how can their child still be kept as an individual and their individual needs met appropriately within a large scale setting? And I think for us, one of the things that we're really aware of is that balance between home life and nursery life, and the juggle then for working parents as well, and how to make that successful for everybody, and how you can meet each parent's needs so that they feel satisfied and they have a right to go back to work and they have a right to be able to continue their career and not feel guilty about leaving their child. So how we can work in partnership to make that happen.
It's such a huge thing. And I think leaving your children, like you just said it, with people you've only had limited time with and you don't really know them. And it's that time, isn't it, to build those relationships. And I think for a parent first coming into nursery, you don't realise the relationships you are going to make with those practitioners. I think a couple of weeks ago, I was in the supermarket and I saw a parent who I looked after three of their children in nursery. And that was, they're now in their 20s. And I'm there going, as soon as we're in the aisle, we see each other and she comes over, hug, you know, how are you? What's happening? Telling me about the children. I'm thinking, we haven't seen each other for 20 years nearly. And suddenly we're there going, like it was a nursery pickup. It's that whole thing. And I'm like, wow, I don't think as a practitioner, I ever realised the impact I'd have on people's lives.
I think it's such a magical relationship.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you're scooping up those families from the, you know, even before they start with you, when you're doing those nursery visits, and you might have a parent who's still negotiating their return to work, they're still kind of sleep deprived, they're still trying to work out their rhythm as a family, because actually everything has changed. And so as a nursery practitioner, as an educator, you become a sounding board, but you also become a support kind of mechanism around that family, and the relationships that you then hold are completely and utterly invested. And a bit like you, we've got, you know, one of our very first atelier children back on work experience with us this week, and it was really lovely to kind of see her come into the staff room, because we were like, it is Ida. And you know, and of course, you know, we're all of a certain kind of mum age, so we all kind of pounced on her and went, oh, do you remember your friend Poppy, and you were in Hannah's family. And, you know, this beautiful, competent, able 15, 16-year-old was kind of looking, and she went, gosh, you know, you really do remember me. And we were like, absolutely we do. You know, when we're spending all of those hours with children, I would be really sad if we didn't have that investment with them to want to know what they were doing when they were 16 and when they were 20, and to know, you know, how they've turned out and the experiences they've gained and the love that they're then able to take forward with them. Because I think, you know, that's what we always try to do, is give our children a true professional love, so that actually they can feel security when they're away from home, when they're away from their parents. So I think those relationships, both with the child and with the parents, are really special.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool that she's come back. And also the relationships that that they make with other nursery children and with other parents as well, you know, you forge friendships that will last potentially for a lifetime, don't you? You know, that's the start of that kind of web that goes out forever quite often, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think we're very lucky. We have lots of families who will join, who've perhaps gone through NCT classes together or antenatal groups together, and then they stay with us. And then, you know, you'll have them through for that 4 years. But actually, some of them will extend as they have a second child or a third child. And you're actually forming part of a community. And whether you then see, you know, you'll hear and see different children as they're going through in starting into secondary school, or you'll see the kind of on the social media, all of the children stood outside their front doors. And this year we had that very first cohort all leaving school And it was really special to see their kind of first shots as they left nursery to starting reception to now really kind of making their way onto their gap years and going into college. And it's huge, but it's a huge investment for everybody to take, whether that's the parent and the family in terms of the trust, whether those are the educators in terms of giving their absolute all to those children whilst they're within their care. And then for us as nursery kind of owners and providers to make sure that everything is in place for them to have the best opportunities that they can have whilst they're with us.
Definitely. So kind of going back to preparing children for nursery, from your point of view as a nursery, what does being ready for nursery actually look like?
Oh gosh, that sounds like all of the discussions at the moment of school readiness. So for us, there isn't a right or a wrong. Every child will come with their own experiences, with their own prior learning. So we really want to know that families have chosen the setting for the right reasons. So we would always recommend to all families to go out and have a good look at all of the settings and the providers around them, so that when you're walking in the door, you've got all of your kind of all of your values met, all of your expectations met, that you're on board with the nursery. You know, as a parent, what you're going to be expecting, so that actually that readiness for the child comes through from you as well. Because what we know about our youngest children is they're going to pick up on any of that parental anxiety. They're going to pick up on any of those concerns that are there. So when we're thinking about nursery readiness, we can be looking at some of our youngest babies. So then we'd be working really hard with families to be aware of what their sleep patterns are at home, be aware of what their feeding patterns are at home, so that we can really echo that care. So there we would just recommend that parents are as honest as they can be and share as much information as they can about their child, so that we can really follow that routine as closely as possible. Then when it comes to looking at the unique child, there is no right or wrong. It doesn't matter if they're potty trained, if they're toilet trained, if they're able to put their coat on. You know, those are all the skills that will work with families and with children to be able to support them to gain whilst they're with us. And that's kind of part of our job and our role, really, is to make sure that they're feeling confident to be able to start with us. So once those families have had their nursery visits and they've kind of made their choices and they want to come to Atelier, we have a whole range and a whole process of settling sessions. And that's where our key people will really get to know that child. So they'll get to spend time with the child and their parents, chatting about their home experiences, what are their preferences, right the way through to kind of, you know, how they do like to be held or how they like to go to bed. Do they like to have their back tapped, or do they actually like to just be put down and left so actually they can self-soothe and settle themselves? And I think for us, it's around really building that relationship so that we get to know the child in context. We get to know them, what's happening for them as a family situation. So at this time of year, there might be new siblings starting school at the same time there's babies starting with us. So you're always looking at how you can support that family dynamic so there's as less stress and transition as possible, really.
Because it's really, I mean, when you say being ready for nursery, it's actually being ready just the whole family, isn't it? It's not the child, because like you say, they can be really little, can't they? You know, it's more, a lot of it can be you being ready as well, you know, and being prepared and being happy with the whole kind of setting, like you say, that it's the right place for you to be going with your child.
Absolutely, I think so. And I think so much of that is around, you know, you're feeling really vulnerable. You're not feeling very really vulnerable on lots of levels, because you're leaving your child within a new relationship. You're building trust with their main caregiver, but you're also then renegotiating, you know, if it's a change in work pattern or if it's a return back to work from maternity leave. So all of a sudden, all of your structure that you're used to as a family is going to be changing. So you might be negotiating who's dropping off and who's picking up, and therefore how are you transferring the car seat? You know, did somebody leave the buggy in the buggy store but actually forgot to pick it up because they came in the car when they picked up? And so there's so many different aspects to kind of really think about and to take time to accept and to reflect on, and to know that actually it is okay if it goes a little bit wrong, because actually your nursery will be there to hold your hand. And if, you know, we've got lovely grandmas who kind of come racing back into the nursery to say, I can't work out how to fit the car seat, can you come and help me? Or, you know, worst case scenario, sometimes people forget to pick up because actually, you know, they didn't drop off, so they're not in that rhythm and routine of thinking where they need to be at, you know, 5 o'clock. And I think, you know, any good nursery will want your whole family to feel supported. And what I love about our nursery perspective is, you know, we've got families who know where the kettle is. They can help themselves, you know, to a cup of tea in the morning if they're in a rush and they haven't managed to stop to have one at home. But they can also just pick up the phone and check in. So if it has been a bit of a rush to leave the house, or, you know, drop off hasn't quite gone as smoothly as they'd hoped, there's always somebody there who can reassure them and pick up the phone and chat through with them. And also come up with some of those strategies to make it a bit smoother the next day.
I used to love those phone calls. At the end of the day, if you had to make that phone call of, is someone coming to pick your little one up? And it would always be like, well, my partner's coming. And he should have been there, or she should have been there. And it's like, not yet. And then it's like, hold on, I'll ring the other person. And then it's like, but they're meant to be doing it. And it's like, no, I think you both probably thought both of you were coming, and you'd just be sat there and they're like, oh my goodness, we're so sorry. It's like, it's fine. They're having a whale of a time. They're just running around the nursery, having the best time. We're all good. But it was always those phone calls. No, someone else is doing that. And you're just thinking, that's natural, normal family life, isn't it? It's just
life.
And those things will happen, and they're just going, yeah. But I remember one really vividly. They both got home and they both walked in the house and they're like, where are the children? And they were like, and they rang and they're like, so it would appear that we've both turned up at home without our children, so we'll head back out and we'll come and get them, but we're going to be late. And it's like, it's fine. But you can only imagine the conversations in the car.
And I think it is that, but it's letting families know it is fine. And, you know, there is no guilt about going back to work. There is no guilt about, you know, losing any childcare provider. It's about making it work for your family and your home. And actually, the way that we're seeing families now, you know, we don't have that extended system around us in the same way that we would have done, you know, 20 years ago. And so actually, find the right provider for you. And they won't mind if you arrive in your pyjamas. They won't mind if you're 10 minutes late picking up. It's all around the communication and the respect within that relationship.
That's what you want, isn't it? That's the kind of provider you want, definitely. So one of our most read blogs on our website is around My Child Cries at Nursery Drop-Off. What can I do? And particularly if you're, you know, we were talking about the most common worries that parents have when their child is starting nursery. And of course, that is going to be the one, isn't it? Your child's crying when you drop them off. What would you say to parents who are worried about that?
We at Atelier will always love our parents just as much. We would always suggest having a look at the way in which your nurseries are running. They will all have different ways of doing things, and there isn't, you know, that's not for me to say that one way's right or one way's wrong. But I would say so much of that comes through from the organisation in the morning. Is there somebody on the door that's actually noticing? Is there somebody that's seeing that parent as they're leaving that can put their hand on their shoulder and say, I'm going to go through and check now. I'm going to give you a call in 10 minutes and see what's happening. But for us, so much of that comes around the emotional security of the child. So if we have a child who hasn't settled with us or who's finding drop-offs particularly challenging, then we'll try lots of different strategies. Sometimes it can be as simple as changing the door in which they come in, or it can be making sure that their absolute familiar item is available to them. It can be having a transition item that goes between home and nursery. But we have also stopped. And I think sometimes as working families or as busy families with our own agenda and actually within a nursery setting, it can be really hard to say this doesn't feel right. And so my main thing to families would be to say, always go with your instinct. If you're feeling unsettled and your child's feeling unsettled, then absolutely get in and talk it through with their manager. What else can happen to make it feel okay? And what we very often find is when we just pause and reflect, then actually we can put in the strategies that are right for that individual child. So when children start with us, we always discuss them having kind of two ways, really. They come in on an absolute honeymoon period. So they come in and they absolutely love it. They're really, really settled from day one. And then about 3 weeks in, they go, oh my gosh, this is happening every day now. And the honeymoon period runs out. And then they're kind of like, no, this is not what I want, actually. And when children are crying, that's their way of communicating. They're letting us know that something isn't feeling right. So as educators and parents and practitioners, that's our job then to try to look at what's gone wrong for that child, what's happening emotionally for that child to make them feel that they're feeling sad and they need support within that. And then we have those children, the other side of that are those children that kind of take a long time to settle, and they have an investment within their settling process. And then all of a sudden, the switch is clicked and they're in and they're absolutely fine and they're settled. So we always really watch out for what we call the honeymoon settles, because we know that somewhere along the line they're going to have that blip. So we always try to get them first. So we always slow the settling sessions down. So very often parents might say, oh, they're doing absolutely fine. I'm going to go now. I'm going to go for an hour and I'll come back. And, you know, I'm really known for saying, oh, no, you're not, because actually that child is still getting used to the environment. They're still getting used to the movement. They're getting used to the number of children around them. They're building a relationship with their significant person or their key person. So whilst it might look OK on the surface, we haven't actually got right down to the core of what's, you know, that child feeling emotionally secure and stable within the nursery. So we always make sure we have a pace of settling sessions. So, you know, my main thing for children when they're very distressed on drop off is, has that settling process happened appropriately? And is it time to put a pause on them and revisit the settling? So actually almost going back to the beginning, which can feel exhausting, but actually by taking that time and investing, we know that the child then is going to rebuild their confidence and re-establish the relationships. Lots of it will come around to communication. So chatting to the key person, letting them know, is it a change, a natural change or a natural rhythm? So are they struggling in terms of settling? Are they waking up really scared and kind of going, I don't want to go to nursery? You know, is it actually the separation? Because Monday mornings can come after a beautiful weekend of swimming, of park, of play dates, of visiting grannies. And so actually sometimes you do kind of want to go, actually, I'd sooner do more of that than I do want to come into nursery. So for us, it's around really being honest with your provider, talking through the situation, making sure that your child's voice is being heard, because they're crying or their behaviour is their way of communicating that they're not feeling settled. And then working together to come up with the strategies that are going to be right for your child. So whether that's transitional objects, whether that's additional support, whether that's having, you know, the same person being available to meet them every morning when they arrive so that they know who they're coming into to settle them within a particular space. And it might be a favourite activity, it might be a favourite book, but just something that will bridge that transition between parents leaving and parents going. And most importantly, having a plan for when they are upset, because I think for parents, it's really hard to know when to step back and when to kind of revisit. So sometimes you might find a parent who will have said goodbye, then they'll go and hang up their coat and then they'll just come back to check. And actually that might be the point when that child is just accepting that separation and all of a sudden has to then go through it all over again. So lots of communication, making sure you're on the same page, and working together with your provider, but always being honest. If it doesn't feel right, listen to your instinct and raise it and share it.
I always think it's quite hard, isn't it? When I always remember, because my children were really, really struggled at going anywhere without me. You probably remember, Claire. I talked to you about it quite a lot at the time when they were little. But I always remember people going, don't worry, as soon as you've left them, they'll be absolutely fine. And I'm not sure how helpful that was. And I think what you've just said is actually helpful in that, you know, that whole kind of revisiting and talking. And I think sometimes when you're another parent saying to somebody, oh, don't worry, they were perfectly fine when you left, because in your head, you probably know they may not have been, because they may still, like you say, it may be that you needed to revisit. It may be that you needed to talk to your kids. So it's about that, making sure that you keep that communication open, isn't it, with the nursery and or with the childminder, whoever it is that you're dropping them with, to make sure that you know that everything is okay with your little one when that you're dropping them off.
And I think, you know, what we always say is, when they're dropping off, always also consider how they are when you pick up. Because actually, if a child is containing that emotion and they're just holding that emotion for the length of that day, then you're going to see a sad child on pick up, because they'll just be almost ready to burst, because they'll have held it and held it and held it. And that's when it's not okay. That's when you really do need to be going in and talking. But, you know, in my opinion, a key worker or a key person who has that professional love with their child, they're going to be wanting that child to come in happy and settled as well. So they'll be sending you photographs, they'll be sending you little messages. You know, lots of nurseries and childminders will be using different platforms in terms of communicating with families. So just check in with them, see what's happening throughout the day, get a gauge. And I think for me, with our staff, you know, we don't want unhappy and unsettled children in our care either, because actually that child's needs aren't being met. So actually we need to be questioning what's going on for that child and what else can we do collectively and together in partnership to make them happy and settled.
What
is your kind of thought process around, and what do you do at nursery, with regards to parents saying goodbye? Because I think there's some thought, train of thought, that if you can sneak away, then it will all be fine. And saying goodbye makes it worse. Or there's the other side of it that goes, if you say goodbye, you are, that becomes something that the child gets used to, that you say goodbye, but you always come back. And there's always that, do you go by what the parent wants to do, or do you have kind of a viewpoint on how to approach it?
We always insist children are said goodbye to, because even if the separation is challenging and it's hard, actually the fear of abandonment is far, far mm-hmm. greater and far more damaging for that child emotionally. So we will always encourage and insist that families say goodbye. And even if that means, you know, you've got a nursery manager who's rubbing a parent's back and saying, it's going to be okay. I'm going to wait with you at the door. I'm going to come back before you even left the building to let you know how they're doing, to, you know, to share honestly what's happening for that child. But from the child's perspective, the thought of somebody sneaking off without saying goodbye, you know, where have they gone? Are they going to come back? How does that feel? That's abandonment. And so, no, for us, we need to say goodbye no matter how hard that process might be.
No, that's so true. So you have the settling in period. So how does it work? So somebody comes to the nursery, they have a visit to see if they think it's the right one place for them. Then they have the settling in period, and then they start. So during the settling in period at home, are you advising parents to, or encouraging parents to, talk to the child about coming to, what do they do kind of at home to support that transition as well?
Absolutely. So at Atelier, we always have a range of settling sessions. So they mm-hmm. start at about 45 minutes. So at that point, mm-hmm. we would never ask the parent to leave the child. So that's purely about the child getting used to the environment, getting used to the noise, the movement, the number of other children around them. From 45 minutes, that will then build up. So over around 4 or 5 settling sessions, that will eventually become a half a day that will include a lunch or a sleep, depending on the age of the child, and whether they're coming in for a half day or for a full day. So within that process, during all of those visits, we would send home backwards and forwards nursery bags. So there might be images of their key person. There'd be images of the different setups within the nursery, so the child can have some control and physically hold those photographs and then bring them back in with them. There'd be a book to share to read about starting nursery that would go backwards and forwards. And so what we would do is encourage the parents to just be really positive about that experience. And I was talking to Lucy, who works with us at the consultancy, and her little boys just started nursery in June for her, ready to return to work after maternity leave. And I was asking her that same question, and she kind of said to me, she said, you know, no matter how anxious you're feeling inside, you've got to think about all of the wonderful things they're going to do. Think about all of the opportunities they're going to have, the friendships they're going to build, the trips they're going to go on, so that in your head, you're portraying the positive messages of what's happening. And I think whilst it's really important to listen to the child's voice about what they're enjoying or what they might not be enjoying, but to always be honest with them. So, or when we go to nursery, we're going to see Eve, or we're going to see Beth, or we're going to go in and see Lucy, and then talk them through about what they might be doing that day. Talk about always returning. So we always kind of try to break the day down, so we don't have a huge amount of changes within the day in terms of transition. But, you know, if it's an after lunch, so you're going to have a play, you're going to have some time with Eve, and then when you finish your lunch, I'm going to come back and find you. So always breaking down those sessions with the children and then sharing. So we use lots and lots of photographs that will go backwards and forwards. So we've got children that will read their learning journals as part of their bedtime stories. So actually really share what they've been doing throughout the day, because for many children, you know, our children in our care are with us for up to 10 hours. So actually what they might have done on the pottery wheel at 8 o'clock in the morning, they've actually kind of forgotten by the time it comes to 7 o'clock and they're settling down for bed. But just by having those images go up, the parents are able to engage with the children about what they've done at nursery and then share those experiences. And we would do that again within all of those settling sessions. So between each settling session, there'll be a kind of focus point to talk about. And do you remember, I think you really enjoyed that, or I really liked the way that you joined Eve to have cafe. Can you remember how delicious the hummus was? And just chat about those experiences really gently as a parent. So you're reinforcing all of those positive messages about nursery being a safe place, and a place that together you will go to, and a place that together you will leave at the end of the day.
So really, when you're looking at a nursery, you want to make sure that those learning journals are including quite a bit of detail, so that particularly when you're settling, I mean, obviously, as time goes on as well, but particularly when you're settling, you have got quite a bit to talk to your little one about, so that, I mean, obviously, age dependent, I mean, obviously, if they're babies, you still talk to them, but you know, how much kind of interaction, but particularly when they're of an age where they can have a bit of interaction with you as well, you can really start to kind of get some preparation and some interaction for the next day. That's really helpful, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We've got photographs of key people on, you know, families' fridge doors, because it's just that, again, that positive reinforcement about, you know, we really believe that if our key people are welcomed into a family home, then you're immediately giving your child the message that that's a safe person that we like and we trust, because we don't tend to invite people into our homes that aren't part of our community, our families and our friends. So another part of what we do is also do a home visit. So our staff will all go and visit with parental consent those children within their home setting. So again, it gives them an additional kind of tool to their belt, really, in terms of feeling safe and feeling secure, because that person's seen them in their playroom or has seen them, you know, has been into their bedroom to have a look at the stories that they've got, and so is able to share so much more about that child in context. And so the next time they come in, you're already one step ahead, because you've got that awareness of how that child responded to you.
And doing things like you know, is it in the same way as you would prepare to go to school? Is kind of walking past the nursery and pointing it out, and, you know, like you said, reading books about going to nursery? I mean, I know we did Topsy and Tim, you know, go to nursery and those kind of things. Presumably they're all helpful things to do.
Oh, absolutely. Anything you can make the connection with. So whether it's looking for the signs, whether it's looking for the colours, whether it's noticing the cars that are parked in the car park, so you know who's going to be there before you even arrive, you just making those connections with anything else. So we always kind of talk about the mapping of nursery. So how do you get to nursery? What's your journey? So for some of our children, that will be that they've come on the bus. For some of those children, it'll be that they've ridden their bikes or they've scooted in. So what do they go past? So, you know, we always go past Victoria Park on our way to nursery. So again, building that sense of community and just drip feeding it in the whole time.
So Claire, are there kind of any particular tips that you would want to pass on to parents who are preparing children for nursery, or even looking for a nursery to take their children to?
Gosh, I think there's lots, actually. So for me, it would be really taking time prior to choosing your nursery to really going around, having a look at as many settings as you possibly can, going with your instinct, having a look for the sense of the warmth of the staff, the leadership, the opportunities that are in place. You can, of course, look for things like the Ofsted report, the food hygiene reports. But actually, so much of that as a parent will be about finding the nursery that suits you, that suits the values of your family, the ways in which you want to parent your children. I think the biggest one for me, and the one that I always share with my friends and now my nieces, because I've kind of got a lot older, but it's kind of, you know, really take time to settle. Try not to rush that process, even if they feel that they're really settling. Make sure that you're talking really honestly and openly with your key person and also with your child, but in an age appropriate manner. So you're hearing their voice, you're reaffirming any of their concerns or any of their questions, and you're always being honest with them about whether that is that you're going to nursery, that, you know, what days you go to nursery. Don't try and hide them until you just arrive, but also talk about what they're going to be doing. Stay positive about their experience, and the more information you can share with your setting, the better, because actually, whether that's around allergens, whether it's around sleep patterns, whether it's around preferences, you know, we want all of our children to be cared for in the way that we would care for them at home, and so actually what we want to do is have enough information so that we can meet both parental expectation, but most importantly the needs and the wants of those children. So be as honest as you can, share as much information as you can, and make sure you take time. Don't feel rushed, be organized, get out there and visit as many settings as you can, and really build that relationship with your key person, because they're going to be your main point of contact. So you have to have a relationship that's built on foundation and trust. So take time to get to know them. Ask what they did at the weekend. Share what you did at the weekend. Pop on, you know, your family pictures if you've been to the beach or you've been to, you know, to the local farm, so that actually your key person can engage with your child and make those links between home and nursery. Mm. Because as soon as your child has that sense of belonging and has a sense of self within that setting, then their levels of involvement will be higher, their levels of well-being will be higher. And ultimately, that means we can then go to work feeling confident in the care that our children are within.
Oh, those are great tips. Thank you, Claire. So finally, just a final question. What would you say is the most rewarding part of helping children through their first experience of nursery? I mean, obviously, seeing somebody come in as a member of staff or as a work experience, but that aside.
I think for us, it's around that joy. It's the wow moments. It's seeing children experience things and have the freedom to work in ways that they couldn't possibly do at home. So, you know, we're so privileged that we have pottery wheels or we have sewing machines and we have indoor beaches. And so actually being able to really work with children in a sense of joy and a sense of play, so that we know they are becoming all-rounded, you know, holistically developed, beautiful human beings to go onto the world. And I think we've got so much pressure as parents, we've got so much pressure as working parents, and we've got so much pressure within a government agenda that's focused on outcomes. So for us, it's peeling back those layers and looking at joy and looking at play and looking at love and making sure that our children have their toolkits full of resilience and motivation and perseverance and determination, because then anything's possible.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you, Claire. And I know that people will want to find out more about Atelier, so we'll definitely share the links in our show notes, full of loads of tips. So thanks ever so much for sharing them with us.
No, thank you for having me, and good luck to all of those families settling ready for September starts.
Thanks, Claire.
That's everything for today. Thanks for listening. If there's something you'd like us to talk about, we'd love you to get in touch and let us know. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Bespoke Family, or head to our website. The links are in our show notes.
Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss the next episode, and please give us a rating or review if you like what you hear. We're Bex and Claire, and we'll be back soon with another episode of Newborn to Teen and everything in between. See you then.